Well, it's getting late. Thanks for the cold one, Sam.
You're welcome, Fraser.
The beer, I mean, not Diane.
Now back to the Pete McMurray Show. Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name. A lot of us grew up with Kelsey Grammer, best known as Dr. Fraser Crane on Cheers. And Fraser has a very touching book about his sister Karen called Karen, A Brother Remembers. Let's welcome in the icon, Kelsey Grammer. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Before we get to this emotional book, I want to say I'm sorry for your loss with George Wendt. I knew George. We did many charity events together. He was Norm in real life.
Yeah, he liked beer. It was very funny. I asked him one time, I said, what's the deal with beer? He says, oh, I love beer.
Oh, he loves beer. I've seen him drink a lot of beer in the past, man. But that Cheers cast, I heard you on Ted Danson's podcast a while ago. It's just, you guys are still connected to this day.
Yeah, we shared something truly extraordinary. I mean, you know, that's everybody was at the top of their game, but also the it's a heady experience to be involved in a show that's that popular for as long as it was. And to those friendships that we made, I mean, we would spend hours upstairs on the foosball table. I mean, it was nuts. Even a couple of hours after we'd finished shooting, it was the place of great fun for us. And we connected that way a lot. So, and it was George, Woody, me, and Ted. I mean, we were up there all the time.
God, that's great. I mean, it sounded like you and Woody hit the bars a few times. I mean, you've been very open about your drinking, and Woody, of course, loves the booze and the pot.
There were a few wonderful, wonderful excursions we took around the country. We went to Idaho at one point. It was really quite a visit.
How do you go from L.A. to Idaho? How does that work?
There was some event up there that we attended, and then just decided to kind of get a little bit further, to explore it further.
Well, this book that you wrote, you have a very unique story. You were raised by your grandfather, Gordon, who I've heard you speak about. He was basically your father growing up, wasn't he? Your North Star.
Yeah, absolutely.
He passed away when you were 12 years old. And then you make your way to Juilliard somehow. And at age 20, your sister Karen, who you were extremely close with, passes away.
Yeah. Yeah. She was killed. So it was a kind of a every decade that we lived together actually was sort of bookmarked by a tragedy. And then, of course, you know, Karen's was when I was 20. But I carried her for all this time and didn't really know what to do with it except to just simply grieve. And then I was given a kind of a directive to say, tell her story through a medium that I was working with. And it turned into this book.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just imagining being 20 and having a huge loss like that. Like, how do you even wake up the next day?
It was hard. There were hard days. There were certainly hard days. But what was funny was the death of our granddad together. That was the same kind of difficulty. We didn't know what to happen. Our whole world had changed. And it was you get up the next day and live the same day over and over again until finally, you know, a little bit of creativity or a little bit of purpose starts to creep back into your life. And you've mourned the loss to the point where you start to realize that life is telling you you have to be useful again. You have to get back on point and become relevant as far as you see it that way. And to get back in the game, because we're only here for whatever amount of time we're here.
Right, right.
Her passing sounded very, very brutal. If I was that sibling, I feel like I'd be so angry. Did you ever go through that just sheer anger phase?
Sure. Yeah, I was very, very angry. I talk about it in the book quite a bit, but there were some, you know, a lot of anger at first. It was actually focused on things outside of me, and then the anger that I couldn't actually really express started to turn back in on me at some point. So I spent, you know, a couple of decades fighting through that and did some, you know, fairly obviously, you know, self-destructive behaviors. But I got on with that too. I got through that as well. And so then, you know, with God's good grace and by just hanging in there long enough, things did turn around. And I live a wonderful life today. And I had this opportunity to mourn my sister, but also to praise her and to reintroduce her to the world and to have her be on people's lips that I know. And that's been a very, very gratifying experience.
You've been very open about your struggles with booze and cocaine over the years. That was just your way of dealing with all this death?
Yeah. I think that really was it. I mean, that's I think also had a I had a kind of a, you know, a wild hare in me that was saying, well, let's see how far you can get with this.
Oh man.
Throwing my own challenge out before me. And I said, well, you know what? You're pretty tough, Kel, so let's see how tough you really are. But you know what? I realized eventually that I was tough enough and I could just cut it out now.
We're talking with Kelsey Grammer. The name of the book is called Karen. Ted Danson has brought this up a few times on his podcast. He says that you have a photographic memory where you could read a script in an afternoon and then recite it that night.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think of it more as a muscle. I think actors are, as a rule, pretty bright people. I've known a couple of dim bulbs, but not very bright.
Same with radio people. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know they're pretty sharp. They pay attention to the human experience, you know, and that it's our job to sort of regurgitate what we've learned. Only smart people can hang on to enough stuff to actually be able to regurgitate it. So, but most of the smartest people I've known actually were actors, and the good ones, you know, they're arguably there are a few that aren't. But I find that muscle, that memory muscle, is just something that once engaged is something you rely on as a tool, and so it's a tool.
How did that tool help you when you went to write this book about something that happened so long ago?
Yeah, well, interesting. That the writing itself is almost like a channeling session for me. Once I'd start down a certain path, the memory just became just crystal clear. It was fascinating because even stuff I'd kind of forgotten suddenly would flood my mind, and I'd go, "Oh my goodness! There I am. I'm 5 years old, right there, and there it is." And it was an extraordinary experience to. It everything just breathed again. Everything came back to life. It was a wonderful thing.
Jeez, man. You sound like you got it all together.
Well, I'm still working on it. Yeah. I've sort of got a bigger piece together than I used to.
Kelsey, when I look at your career, I mean, I look at Cheers, I look at Frasier, two iconic shows that everyone has watched, everyone has seen.
Not only iconic, but back to back.
I know.
It's amazing that anyone even knows your real name.
Thank you.
And your real accent, because Frasier Crane, of course, had certain dialect.
Yeah, I've got a funny thing. I was raised by people who were from California, but we lived in New Jersey when I was a boy. So there's an odd sort of hybrid accent, I guess, I developed out of that. Then I went to Juilliard, and they taught us to speak as though we were born in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And
right. So
that's also part of it. But I spent 6 years in Florida from 12 to 18. Those, you know, the wonder years, quote unquote, they mellowed everything I have with a bit of a drawl. I have a just a bit of a Tampa twang or a Lauderdale languidness, and you know that's
the Tampa twang. I like that.
There's a bit of a southern edge to some of the way I speak, and I guess that's my more familiar voice, but you know, that's with friends.
I want to mention a show called Boss on Stars, where you played the mayor of Chicago. I thought that show was so good. 2 seasons, they should have done 10. You were so great. You played Mayor Daley number one.
Yeah, it's that idea. It was set up in Chicago because Chicago is really the only place that is sort of like a kingdom.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's like a mobster running the city, right?
Yeah, it was basically King Lear, and we just just put it in Chicago, and that's what it just unfolded from that idea. That's my favorite role. It's my favorite thing I ever played.
Oh my God, you were so good! And I got to tell a true story. It was back in the summer of 2012. I was in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And we were at the same hotel, and I saw you getting towels, and I sent my then 7-year-old son. I go, go over and stand next to that guy, and I'll come and get you. So it gave me an excuse. Gave me an excuse to approach you. We started talking about Boss. You were so kind and engaging. You asked me where I was from. You were asking me certain questions, and I'm like, I'll leave you alone, man. You're with your family.
Well, bless you, man. But I like people. That's the thing. And this whole idea.
I can tell. Yeah.
You know, being an actor is... You got to get to know people. If you don't know people, how can you possibly be an actor?
Yeah, and before you go, do you have a quick story about George Wendt?
Well, George and I would just we went. I did a charity thing for him in Chicago at one point, and I actually forget the story I told. But Woody and George were sitting next to me at one of George's favorite bars, and when I told them the punchline, they both shot beer out of their noses.
You nailed it. You just nailed it.
Yeah, I just nailed it. It was perfect. that was sort of exemplary of the kind of time we would spend together. I just really enjoyed him. We had a great time. It was an excuse to go out and have some fun.
I'll tell you, that bar was called Stanley's because George was there a lot. The book is called Karen, Kelsey Grammer. So great to speak with you, man. Continued success.
Thanks, my friend. Take care.
More of the Pete McMurray Show next.